Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
And guess what, Ellie?
What?
We've got Clemency Burton Hill on the podcast.
Yes!
Hooray!
Amazing. Of all the people called Clemency I've ever met, you're definitely in my top five.
I am so honoured. I can't believe that there's anyone else in the world called Clemency. Who else would have such a cruel parent to name them Clemency? But there you go. Anyway, so lovely to see you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, we are so excited. This is not the first time we've met you. Because
certainly it's not.
we met you a couple of months ago at a place called Hay, the Old Hay Festival. And it was quite a hurried meeting. You don't usually meet people and then about half an hour later you appear on stage in a gold catsuit performing Shakespeare. But that's what we did, Clemmy.
What happened was basically I fangirled all over you in the most undignified fashion.
I liked it.
We hate that kind of thing, yeah.
And, you know, the Hay Festival, amazing thing. Incredible writers and filmmakers and everyone's there. And I was losing my shit because the Scummy Mummies were in the green room. And that was, I basically just found any excuse to come and talk to you and then was like, can you come and be in a Shakespeare show?
So. I like that you elbowed Jeanette Winterson out of the way.
Out of the way.
I'm really sorry, but these guys, I got to talk to them.
And you brought the house down.
Well, we did what we...
Show.
It was great. I mean, we performed an excerpt from Hamlet and basically I had to explain, she's like, which one's the king? Wait a minute, I thought he was dead. It was all a bit like that.
And there was one of the most famous BBC journalists in the front row, Jeremy Bowen. Great, and a lovely guy called Marcus Brigstock, the comedian.
It was a wonderful thing. It goes down as, like, you know, in terms of like hashtag life goals,
hashtag weird dreams. also, I would say, but yes, but you know, for those of you who aren't familiar, Clemency, introduce yourself.
Oh God, well, can I be Clemmy for a start?
Of course.
All right.
I know you've had a lot of Clemmys on the show.
I know, we want to distinguish. You're not Clemmy Hooper. You're not Clemmy Telford. You're Clemmy Burton Hill.
I am so. Over the moon to be your third Clemmy on the show, and I love Clemmy Hooper and I love Clemmy Telford from afar. Beware, because maybe I'll bamboozle them into doing some Shakespeare at Hay Festival next time.
Oh yeah.
But no, I'm a broadcaster and writer and very happy to be sitting with the Scummy Mummies.
Lovely. And you're a mum.
And I'm a mum. Yes, I'm a very scummy mummy. Am I allowed to, can I have the honour of being a scummy mummy?
Yes, you are a scummy mummy.
Can't currently fit into a gold cat suit, but...
Because?
That's okay. Because, going to have another one, hopefully, all being well.
So you've got a four-year-old already?
I've got a three-and-a-half-year-old at the moment.
Okay.
And then another one right here.
Cooking
in the oven.
Exciting. So how pregnant are you?
I'm due at the end of March, so I've sort of... About 20 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
About 20 weeks.
Have you had the scan?
Yeah, I just had the scan, having another boy, which makes me feel very tired already. but obviously over the moon. So.
Well, Ellie can coach you because you've basically got the same two boys and about the same age gap as well.
What's your top advice then for having two boys?
Oh, I don't know. Just, you know, like just DVDs. I don't know.
Trampolines, sticks. Yeah.
Whenever anyone asks me like advice, I immediately feel like an idiot because I just don't know anything.
Yeah.
I think you just said it all. DVDs and trampolines.
Yeah. That's
pretty much it.
Run them like dogs.
Yeah.
And you'll be fine. You'll be fine. So going back to like your career, Clemmy, what is your specialist subject?
I suppose my specialist subject is kind of the arts and music, which sounds all very sort of poncy and, elitist, but hopefully not. Like, I really I really love music, and I present a radio show on the BBC, which is a music show.
On the Radio 3s.
Yeah. And I've always just loved, I loved acting when I was a kid. I loved music. I've loved, always loved writing and books and storytelling and all of that stuff. So.
Mm. And now in the summertime, you did the BBC proms, is that right?
I did, my 10th year in a row.
Wow.
That is how old I am.
You started when you were 17?
No, I'm a child prodigy.
Get out.
So what do you do at the proms? You host them, is that right?
So yeah, I present them for telly and for radio and some live events and stuff beforehand as well sometimes. So yeah, it's really fun. I love the proms. I think they're an absolutely incredible thing. You get the most wonderful, brilliant artists from all over the world desperate to come to London. We're so lucky in London. We've got them on our doorstep. Not your doorstep in Forest Hill, to be fair.
All right. I mean, we don't have the Albert Hall, but we do
literally
have a very strong branch of the Wetherspoons. It's very nice.
It's so weird that the Proms hasn't yet relocated to the Catford Wetherspoons. I think it might happen. It might happen.
Dream, believe, achieved, Clemmy.
There you go. It's amazing. You can go for £6. You know, it's the cost of a pint these days, practically, even in a Wetherspoons.
Yes, a fancy Pret sandwich. And
every
you've got Mozart.
Every single night you've got... Well, you've not only got Mozart, but you've got... so many different types of music. You've got, you know, some sort of, sometimes we do like classical mashups for things like pop music and grime and hip hop and Ibiza and things like that. And sometimes it's very straight classical, but you've got a real musical mix. It's completely open to everyone. If you can afford the £6, then you're in. Every single night, 6,000 people gathering to just hear the music. It's awesome.
And then last night at the proms, of course, do you ever get a Union Jack for Jazzle?
I am not. Weirdly, it just hasn't occurred to me.
Well,
now you're talking.
You can have that. There you are. That's
next year, post birth. No,
yes, exactly. I'm not sure that I would actually go Union Jack or Jazzle either these days.
Just a quaver. Just a. A treble clef.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm hankering after. Yeah. A treble clef for Jazzle. I just never knew until I think, God, you're in my life.
That's right.
I'd get D minor, favourite chord.
Nice.
At least you didn't say anything about a G string. So.
Oh, damn it!
Oh, I knew that was
clever than us.
Hair on it, anyway.
Yeah. So yeah, last night the proms is a riot. It has some traditions that happen. Things like people waving flags, but they're not just Union Jack flags. There's always flags from, I think we counted like 55 countries or something.
I always seek out the Aussie flag. When I moved to the UK 11 years ago, I went to the proms because in Australia we herald everything that's British as the most amazing thing. And I used
were
to
you like so let down when you actually got here and you're like, it's just really shit. It just rains.
Oh my god!
Same, but with drizzle.
Just betting shops and whinging. That's Britain in a nutshell.
A lot of queuing. But yeah, I remember going to the proms for £5 back, 11 years ago. And what I loved is that there were people just sitting and having sandwiches, drinking wine out of a flask, and we were all watching.
So sophisticated.
It's lovely.
Not even scooping it up with their hands out of a barrel. Out of a flask, Marjorie, out of a bloody flask.
Oh, I loved it. And just sitting down having a picnic. And then there was the poshies behind us who obviously paid 10 times or 12 times as much as we had. And we were all just enjoying the same thing.
Yeah.
And I thought us sitting on the floor having our sandwiches and glass of wine, we're having a better time.
Yeah, like, well, people always say. I mean, when I grew up in London, I used to go to the proms a lot, and I just loved being in the arena, which is where the promers, as they're called, stand or sit on the floor eating their sandwiches and drinking their wine, scooping it out with their hands.
Just gnawing on chicken bones.
Gnawing
like
on the bones. Yeah. I mean, you can go and sit at the proms as well for not that much. You don't have to pay £50 for a seat at all. But, you know, it's definitely more atmospheric and more fun.
Get in there.
I would say though, if people haven't experienced a classical concert and they may be curious about it, or they've heard of the proms but they think, oh, classical concert, do I have to dress up, do I have to like look a certain way, do I have to know certain things, fuck no, come along. It's cost £6.
I went in thongs. I mean, it was great.
What did you wear on your feet? So you mentioned going to the proms there. Were you always into classical music from quite little? Was it something you had? Like, how did you get into it? Did you have it at home or at school?
Well, so I grew up with... my mum's single mum, three of us, but my two older brothers are half-brothers, different dads. And it's fair to say we were not a musical household. I mean, my mum, by her admission, is, like, absolutely tone-deaf. Never played any instrument. Loves music. She's like always responds to it. She enjoys it, but she never learnt any. She can't sing. There was no, like, she's always sort of made that point. My two older brothers never played anything. Maybe the recorder for like a year at school, gave it up straight away. So I was like a total freak because I just was really into it from a really young age. And I saw, we were watching telly the Christmas before I was two. Of course, we were watching telly. It's what we did in my household.
It was the
good.
80s.
It was
this
the 80s.
Is what you do. This is cup of tea and telly.
My mum's approach to parenting is absolutely the one I embrace myself.
Yeah. It was funny root vegetables on that's life. It was a happier, simpler time in many ways, Chloe.
We were watching telly before Christmas and there was a kind of, I think, a carol concert or something, and there was a kid playing the violin, and I apparently just got like fixated by this thing and was like, I want to do that. And, you know, you've had toddlers, you don't listen to them.
I want that.
Like, obviously, my mum just, like, kept shutting me up and forgot about it. And then I was apparently just kept going on about it. But she talked to a friend who had a friend who had a friend who was, like, who played the violin somewhere. And she talked to her and she said, yeah, actually, because I was like, my two-year-old wants to play the violin. Obviously, that can't, like, is it even physically possible? And she was like, well, actually, some people think it's the best time to learn. And there's this thing called Suzuki and you can have a look at it. So my mum amazingly, patiently went and like went to the phone.
Bought a motorbike, realised her mistake.
This is a fine-tuned Suzuki. No, exactly that. She looked through the phone book, kept phoning people, many multiple motorcycle dealerships.
Shut up! Yeah. Somebody take her!
She was on the verge of giving up. And then she got through to something called the London Suzuki Group. And this amazing, magical human called Helen Brunner, who was like, yeah, just bring her along. Bring her along to a class and she can observe it and see if she likes it. And so I did. And I did. I loved it. And it was what's interesting about that approach. It sounds awful, right? It sounds like what a horrible, like precocious thing that you're like hot housing three-year-olds to play Mozart, like what a freakish thing. But it was founded by this really amazing Japanese guy who believed that music was a universal language, and that obviously the optimal time to learn a verbal language is when you're really young, and so it's also the optimal time to learn music. And he believed, as I do, that we are fundamentally musical species. There's never
everybody
pretty much. My mum might disagree, but yeah, I think everyone has the capacity. I mean, there are people who apparently, like, you know, literally have no ability to kind of process it or understand it or respond to it, but they are like in the major minority.
So, but you were obviously, there was, like you said, there was something in you that really wanted to do it that like your brothers didn't necessarily have. Like, can you make children musical?
I don't think you can necessarily, you can't force kids to do anything, right? Like, that's really hard.
If I can put on their shoes and I'll give them a medal. Jesus Christ.
I mean, the levels of bribery that go on in my household just to get out the fucking door. just, you know, so I don't think you can force kids to do things. But what you can do is not approach music in the way that I see a lot of kids have it sort of forced into them at school or by teachers who are just, like, who make them really miserable. And they don't get to, like, play really lovely music. They have to like play really shit boring exercises and scales and things that kind of aren't very joyful. And what was also really amazing about Suzuki is that you play proper music from the very beginning and you play in groups from the very beginning. And one of the best things about music making is doing it with other people.
Yeah, that's the joy of joys.
It's really the joy of joys. And so like even as like a five-year-old, you get really used to playing with your mates and in big groups, and that's, I just absolutely loved that from the outset. I mean, my niece was learning the violin at school and like she'd been learning for like 4 years and she was still just kind of like scraping through some really like mind-numbing exercise, and I was like, of course she's not mate, like why would she want to do this? I wouldn't want to do, like, I think that approach is well, it certainly worked in my case. And what's interesting is that in fact, everyone that I played with when I was little, a lot of them I'm still friends with, and everyone still plays. So, not like his whole thing, Suzuki, was not to train loads of professional musicians. It was to give people that gift, to have it kind of in their life all their life. I like actively wanted to go to my violin lessons. I didn't ever want to practice, so there is like a difference. It's not like I was a complete freak and I was like, I can't wait to do my violin
practice. I'm waking up at 4 a.m, mummy, and I will do this.
But there are obviously people like that. I was never that, and it was a constant battle in some ways. But my mum was really clever about it, because every time I'd be like, I don't want to practice, she's like, fine, just don't, just give it up.
I mean, see if I care.
See if I care. quite useful parenting tactic, that one as well.
Do you think that was the right decision looking back? Or do you ever think, oh no, I wish you'd made me do it for 14 hours a day?
No way. I would never, ever have done it for more than... I did the barest minimum. And I never wanted to be a professional musician.
Right.
I did play to a really, really high standard when I was younger. And it's potentially something I could have kind of gone down if I'd really wanted to. But I was just always really interested in other things. I would have never given it that dedication and that time. You know, it's like having to be an athlete or something. If you're going to be a top
10,000 hours, 10,000 hours.
I've been drinking for 10,000 hours. Yeah. I'm really fucking good at it.
Professional.
I never vomit.
You are the
anymore.
Mo Farah of Chardonnay.
But is that thing that you... Who said that you do something for 10,000 hours?
I thought it was Nigel Kennedy who talked about the 10,000 hours.
Is it Malcolm Gladwell?
Always fuck this up, listener, so it probably is.
I think it was Joey Essex. Anyway, yes.
So, you were saying about the other music. Were there other musics that really influenced you then as a teenager? Do you have like your teenage playlist or...
Well, I mean, I think I'd probably put Take That, Back for Good on my Desert Island Discs.
Yeah.
I mean, shameful as it is, and that was such a seminal track in my 1995 days.
Of the Take That, who would you, you know...
It was always about Robbie for me.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Cheeky. Ellie?
I was more NKOTB.
Really?
Never really was into that.
Who would you have done in the...
NKOTB, Jordan, yeah. Obviously.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not even a question.
Don't say Donnie, or we'll have to split up. Donnie.
I was more Marky.
Marky wasn't in NKOTB. Marky Mark was Donnie's brother. Oh. He had the fucking Funky Bunch.
See, then I would say Joey.
You're just making names up.
Damn it.
Just put it. I mean, that is someone, but I think you got lucky. I think that was a lucky guess.
Yeah.
Marky Mark.
I liked Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
I like Marky Mark. He wasn't in NKOTB.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I listened to a lot of Mendelssohn
Yes, I was going to say, this classical music podcast is going really well.
See, I think I listened to lots of, like, I found solace in classical music. I played the cello very badly in high school, but I didn't have any friends. So I just, that's what I kind of found it. And
you mainly did Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch covers, didn't you?
That's right, on the cello.
Joey.
Yeah, I always listened to everything, basically. I was never like, I'm only going to listen to classical music. I loved all types of music. Then I got into... When I was about 16, 17, I got really into UK underground garage.
Oh, look, yes!
Yes!
You and I are probably on the, like, raving floor together in some, like, and southeast
they're
London.
They're loving it.
We're loving it right now.
We're on the top of Top Luck. We can make it through tonight.
Yeah, I just feel like DJ Luck and MC Neat.
Fuck yes!
Influential as
we
the Mendelssohn.
We thought we loved her, but now we love her even more.
I just fucking love that shit. I went to a school where there were a lot of Roo boys who were like, this was their thing, and I just kind of absolutely just went, I want to be with those boys.
So I'm going to down my violin. Music. I'm going to go with you guys.
Well, it's true, actually. I did, in my mind, they were the same thing. Like, music is just music.
Mm.
But I was very aware that, like, it was absolutely not cool to play classical music or be into it. And so it was kind of something that I did on the down low. There was definitely some shame around it.
But then there came a point where even garage was not cool. I knew garage was over when my dad came in and went, so where is Ayanapa? And I said, oh no, UK garage is over. Ayanapa.
I mean, have you got go-to songs? Obviously you're in a nice peak bit of pregnancy now. You're in the middle of it. Have you got songs that get you through the day?
I definitely have pieces of music that I'll kind of like turn to if I'm really in crisis. Like, I just can't deal with, I don't know, toddler shit everywhere. And not literally shit, but, you know, the porridge that gets caked to the chair and the Lego underfoot at all points. It doesn't matter what room you're in. I've massively found in the last couple of years, particularly, that music's much more of a kind of spiritual... salvation, stay with me, than I was kind of ever expecting it to be. I loved music all my life, as I say, like, whether it was Garage or New Kids on the Block or Mendelssohn, I have just always had it in my life. It's like a friend almost. Like, there's never been a day when I haven't listened to music. And I had a really tough couple of years, relatively speaking, for someone who lives in, you know, middle class London and whatever. Obviously, lots of people out there with far worse problems. But I've had a tough couple of years, and it's really been miraculous to me, kind of what music has been able to do in terms of sort of spiritual nourishment, getting me through really, really dark times. I do think, I mean, at the risk of sounding like a complete fucking fruitcake, I do think music has got quite magical powers.
Mm.
And it's a mind-altering substance.
Yeah, and it's interesting, like, you know, that when they're one of the most amazing things I've seen recently, when there was the Manchester bombing, and a crowd of Mancunians got together and they just started singing one song. And it felt like a very healing or way of connecting.
No, done. I think you're absolutely right. And as I said, like, we've always, as a human species, that is how we have communicated, it's how we've evolved, it's how we've kind of figured out how to be. And human beings come together and they sing. And whether that's at football matches, whether that's at funerals, whether that's in the school choir, whether that's, you know, on stage at the Royal Albert Hall, there's something that is just so extraordinary about that, of like voices coming together. And I, you know, I'm not surprised that happened. I was always a shit singer, and so I didn't really ever sing.
I'm dreadful, but yeah.
But there's something about it that is just kind of something that's amazing. So you asked if I had like specific go-to songs. I've got kind of specific go-to composers, and then if it's not classical, then there are definitely things that I will kind of come back to again and again and again. Some pieces I just know will get me out of myself if I'm in a real pickle. So I feel very grateful for
that. I always put on funk if I want to funk. Shut up, Ellie, shut up. I put on funk if I want to clean the house.
Yeah, exactly.
Just put on a bit of funk. Why does that sound weird? Nobody says, I like funk. No one goes, what kind of music do you like? I like funk. Do you? Who's your favourite funk artist?
I have like a best of funk CD and I put it on.
Who's on it?
It's all kind of... That kind of funky music.
She's doing the face at me and I'm embarrassed.
She's genuinely
doing
the
face. Pause the podcast and I'll Google it and then I'll sound more intelligent.
No. Funk. Personally, I prefer bossa nova.
Did you just get your musical taste off of like a Yamaha keyboard from 1987?
Yes. The Swiss waltz. I like a Swiss waltz myself. Great. Oh, I'm glad you like funk.
Do you put on a music...
I do put on a music, yeah. I have to be honest and say I am not super... I love listening to you talk about music, Clemmy, and I totally get... But for me, it just... And I feel like... This is like me saying I have no soul. It just doesn't do it for me same way.
It's interesting because, like, we listen to Classic FM. Sorry. It's like saying...
Because we really love the Lord of the Rings soundtracks in a nutshell.
But we...
Fuck me.
We listen to Classic FM when we're driving sometimes. And
I love a Classic FM on a Sunday morning.
It is
basically John Williams and elves, but fuck it. A bit of Harry Potter.
Yeah,
nice.
Exactly. A bit of Hans Zimmer, which is always lovely. But also, we listen to Fleetwood Mac. And that, like, and one of the things that bonds Ellie and I is the Spinal Tap soundtrack.
So you see, you're not immune to the...
I like the Graceland album. I like the Fleetwood Mac Rumours album.
What an album.
I mean, it's quite...
You like
funky.
Africa by Toto.
It's a bit...
I mean,
that's... I do like that.
I like the Riverdance soundtrack. I listen to that quite a lot.
Oh, my God!
Because Ellie and I have talked about this before, is that Ellie does meditation... But I'll put on maybe like Mozart's clarinet concerto. Oh, which
good choice.
But and that will just send me into a trance.
I'm exactly the same. So if I try and do meditation,
I can't mind.
I just get more stressed. Like it really stresses me out. I'll sit there and be like, be fucking mindful. Be mindful.
Don't be weird.
Be present.
Shopping list.
And then I just get more and more and more worked up. Whereas I find like I could put on a piece of Bach or Mozart, or it doesn't have to be classical. And that is the thing that just kind of like, reset. Like that does allow me then to kind of, but you know, you do you, mate. I mean, it doesn't, I don't think there is in any way, I just don't think people should be feeling like, oh, I should listen to this, I should listen to more. If I don't, there's something wrong with me. Especially when it comes to classical music, I think what's really sad about classical music, it's been so marginalized in our society that people don't feel like they are empowered to listen to it on their own terms. It's like, I don't have the right background, I don't know what to wear, I'm not sure what it means, I just, you know. But then, as you say, you put on Classic FM and you listen to the music and it's bloody lovely, and then you respond to it as you do and it's fine.
I like when there's a bit of drama. So I genuinely love Riverdance, which I know is the naffest. I love all these people in their little leather shoes doing the diddly, 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 diddly. Love that.
Yeah.
Love the opera with the people in a big frock going up a mountain, whatever.
A lot of death, Ellie.
Can't sit in a room and watch a man play the violin.
No.
Bored shitless.
Really?
Am I just a Philistine?
No, of course not. There's nothing that says you should like this or you should like that. And if the important thing is that you feel like you can go and watch a man playing a violin
and then leave at the interval.
And if you don't like it, then fucking go. That's right. Too short.
Screw you, Wigmore Hall.
I feel like it's like skiing. I like the idea of it, but I'll see you in the bar. I think that's music in a nutshell.
Well, maybe we should challenge each other, Ellie. I'll take you to a classical music thing. You can take me to what you like.
A pub. How novel that would be for you.
I know.
I would take you to Riverdance. I would love to take you to Riverdance. All right, we'll go to Riverdance.
All right, and I'll take you to, I don't know, I'll take you to Wigmore Hall.
I feel like you should incorporate a bit of Riverdance into your show. I feel like a bit of Riverdance
one
with
more glass of wine.
It's been known, Clemmy.
I feel like
she is quite.
I would pay good money to watch you two in your gold catsuits do your Riverdance.
Michael Flatley, I think we should have on the podcast.
Yes. I used to have a thing at university. Whenever Bewitched came on, I would be compelled, like the red shoes, I would be compelled to drunken Riverdance. And it became like my thing, like my
the green shoes.
Amazing. And I forgot about it. And then a couple of Christmases ago, I was in a pub with some old school friends and Bewitched came on and I went, right, here we go. Like, and it was like, right, it's like a lock in. It was like one in the morning. So like, off I go. Diddly, diddly. And this woman came up to me at the bar. She was like, it was amazing. You're a professional Irish dancer. And I was like, yep. I'm Michael Flatley. Now, Clemmy, we have a listener question for you. Amazing scenes. So Natalie O'Toole, she wants to know, should we normalise going out to a concert? Maybe the question should be, what can orchestras, choirs and other arts organisations do better to reach out to school children and introduce classical art in all its forms as a fun thing to participate in?
Well, it's a very, very good question, Natalie O'Toole. Thank you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
For asking it, because I feel really passionately that it has to start young, because it's no good being like, right, hit 40 now, got my mortgage, got my kids, I've now got to suddenly start going to classical music because that's what like old people do. Not the 40s old, obviously. But you know what I mean?
Get out of my house, bitch! You said 40 the other day.
Obviously, I know. That's like, I'm not very far off of myself.
Back it out. Harris, more wine.
That's what 40 plus people do. So I think, and especially as kids, you'll see like their reaction to music is really authentic. Like, if they don't like something, they don't like something. But if they do, they do. They don't yet know that classical music is something that they're supposed to, like, not like, or it's not cool, or it's what posh people do, whatever. So I think it's really important that you can get kids into it and just hearing it early. And, you know, back in the day, kids would have been exposed to it so much at school that the onus wouldn't have been so much on people like the orchestras and the concert halls to kind of make that happen. Now that's not the case, and particularly, you know, for kids who aren't growing up in like privileged backgrounds where their mummies are going to pay for their violin lessons, says she, who obviously had a mum who did pay for violin lessons. But she was a stripper.
Let's just say that.
We had a lot of people living in our house, let me tell you. So my poor single mum could pay for my fucking violin lessons.
So one of my brothers were like...
Well, she sold one of them, so...
It was all worth it. Britain is actually really strong when it comes to arts organisations and their outreach programmes. There's not an orchestra in the land that doesn't want young people through the doors, not least because their Arts Council subsidy depends upon it. But I think it's also they genuinely, you know, want to make sure that it feels accessible to everyone. So a lot of them do have schemes like education schemes or like come and play days or, you know, kids concerts, family concerts, things like that. So I'd say like wherever you're living, if you do a bit of research, there's probably an orchestra or an arts organisation that does have a really good education programme or outreach programme.
Look, so basically we're saying, you know, for some people it can be difficult to find an entry point for classical music. What if there was some sort of book, Clemmy, that told people what to listen to every day for a whole year so that they would understand the whole of music?
That sounds like a great idea, Ellie.
Oh.
Why doesn't someone write that? Wait a minute, they have.
Oh my goodness. Now let's have a look at this. Year of Wonder by... Oh, it's by... It's your book, Clemmy. It's your book.
Hey, I've written a theme song for this book, Ellie.
Oh, let's hear it.
Welcome to our scummy podcast, Clemency, Burton Hill. We are RC, you're so classy, and we think you're really brill. You wrote a book all about music, Mozart, Haydn, Cage and Bach. Now you're on a filthy podcast, bet you're thinking, what the fuck?
I love it!
I rhymed bark and fuck. Who's Kate?
No, I'm Mozart, Haydn, Cage and Bach.
Cage. John Cage.
It's in the book.
So tell us about this book, Year of Wonder, Clemmy. What's going on?
Well, it's called Year of Wonder, Classical Music for Every Day, as you have just lovely, Ellie, told everyone. Thank you for that. And it is basically exactly that. I've just chosen a piece of music, a piece of classical music to listen to every day. And we cover kind of 1,000 years of music over 366 pieces. And it kind of came about because people, I noticed, were stopping me sometimes in the street. They were random strangers.
Oi, Clemency!
Aren't you that Clemency off Radio 3? But mostly like friends, family, whatever. And it was kind of like people were asking to do like a really shady drugs deal. It was like,
tell me.
It was like, mate, you know, like, could you, not really. It was like, basically, like, can you sort me out?
I've got some really hardcore Vivaldi.
Yeah.
There's a fifth season, but don't tell anyone.
Can you sort me out with a classical playlist?
Yeah.
I mean, someone should write the fifth season, Ellie. I feel like... I feel like
it could be me.
With the musical talent that surrounds this table.
Yes.
So I just thought there is a real hunger for people to know more about this stuff, but they feel, for whatever reason, that it's not something that they have access to. It's not something they feel comfortable exploring. Obviously, the sort of technology now means that there's a lot of classical music that's available online.
Mm.
But it's no good me being like, yeah, just go on Spotify. There are 30 million classical tracks. It's like, what the fuck? I mean, where do you begin?
Yeah.
Go for your life. So I kind of wanted to curate something that felt very just accessible for anyone. You could do it, you know, on your commute. You could do it loading the dishwasher. You could do it with your kids.
Putting the bins out. Doing it,
meaning like having a little listen.
Yeah.
So each day there's a page, obviously, a book and everything.
This is wonderful.
Some of them are really short. They're like 5 lines. Yeah, I love that.
Because it's not like everyone's a Wikipedia page. It's not like this was written by this guy, this thing, blah, blah, blah. It's like interesting actual nuggets of trivia, which, as I think we've just established, I love. But like good facts for a pub quiz. That's what I want.
And it's wonderful. And you have written it like you're writing to a friend going, and there's bits in the like winter, like in UK winter, going, grab a glass of red wine, have this is delicious. Or you talk about the gossip of Saint-Saëns, who wrote Carnival of the Animals, which I think is one of the, you know, it's a glorious piece of work, but he was embarrassed about that, and I liked the gossip in it, but it's nothing more than a page. So you can literally, listener, take it to the toilet and you feel like you've educated yourself.
That's one of the highest recommendations.
If it means that you leave your Instagram outside the door and you do one.
Dreamy.
Because I just really wanted to remind people that all of this stuff was made by actual humans who had actual human concerns, often very similar to ours, you know. And the idea that classical composers are this kind of weird breed that occupy like some different plane of existence and write music to kind of deliberately make us feel stupid because we don't know how to pronounce something or we don't know what it means is just bollocks. Basically, these were thinking, feeling, loving, grief-soaked, happy, whatever they were. They were human beings who were just compelled to express themselves through this glorious music. You know, a lot of it...
Well, they were the bewitched of their day.
Indeed, if not the new kids on the block. You know, they they just had to get those messages out there.
Yeah,
and, you know.
Yeah. Life is a roller coaster. That's what they were mainly saying, isn't it?
You know, and there's a lot of stuff in there that is quite familiar, and there's a lot of stuff that was actually a discovery for me over the last few years as I've been doing The Breakfast Show. Obviously, like, my day job is to kind of play music to people and hopefully improve their day. So that's sort of also where the inspiration came from, but...
Because I think that's it's not even though I'm a beginner. I mean, I don't really care for music, do I? But it is a. It's not like if you're reading that as an expert, you'd be. It's not for idiots. Do you know what I mean?
No, no. And there's bits in. I'm just speaking for you now. You're talking about.
It's great. I pay you later.
Yeah. There's bits where you're talking about this female composer who does sort of an Asian inspired. Songs and you say grab a gin and tonic. Obviously, I'm just mentioning the bits where you talk about alcohol.
There's an odd entry that doesn't mention booze, but over 366 days.
And that's where we're going to do a collabo. We're going to match the music with the alcohol drinks.
New idea.
Yeah.
Cheese.
Oh,
cheese and music.
Cheese and music.
Music.
Yes. Music.
Oh.
Thank you for the choosing, the cheese we're eating.
It's really good. And I like short things. Like, look, that's just two sentences. I mean, that's great. And you feel like you've learnt something.
That is the one where I basically say this just feels like drinking a large.
Was that your last entry? You're like, oh, fuck this. Just have it with a glass of wine. Shut up. Press play on the CD.
But, you know, that is an etude by someone called Alexander Scriabin. That doesn't sound that welcoming to me. Whereas a large glass of red wine bloody does.
Yeah, I did that.
When you listen to the piece of music, it's just a really luscious. It comes on the 16th of January. It's like, bloody hell, it's the middle of January. You just need like a... music that feels like a large glass of red wine.
Yes, exactly.
But most of them do at least try and impart something informative about it. And it's not a guide to classical music at all, but if you did go through the year and you did bother to read every single entry, I hope you'd come away feeling like you had a pretty good grasp on how music evolved and the big ideas and the big players in that. But I also wanted to include a lot of people who are usually left out of the classical canon. So women, for example.
Yes, there was a woman born the same year as me, a Scottish lass, who I can't remember her name. Go on.
What's Anna Meredith?
That's the one.
Legend.
So I was like, oh, wow. Look at that next to your Barks and your Cages. Very exactly. good. And your Samuel Barbers.
Also women that go right back to like the 11th century, like Hildegard of Bingen.
Were women back then? Who knew?
Yeah.
Hildegard, of course she was called fucking Hildegard.
What a legend. Hildegard is badass. She just was clearly like a multitasker extraordinaire, and she wrote really beautiful music in the 11th century. You know, I found actually a lot of the stories of the women particularly moving because they've just been written out of the canon.
Yeah.
And particularly where, you know, people like Fanny Mendelssohn, who was the sister of the much more famous Felix Mendelssohn. If you think about the sort of struggles that women had to go through, because they were never going to get their music published, they were never going to be taken seriously, they weren't really allowed to do this, especially if they came from sort of, you know, middle class backgrounds or bourgeois backgrounds. The whole idea was that they would just, you know, marry someone and have the children and do their things. So actually it's kind of all the more remarkable when they sit down and they get this stuff out. Fanny Mendelssohn wrote 500 pieces, probably. I mean, you know, I found that really...
We've nearly done as many podcasts. I mean, come on now.
I think she would have been a fan of the Scummy Mummies.
We'd have had her on, wouldn't we? Especially because she's called Fanny.
Yeah.
Can't say that enough.
Spiritual sister.
So, yes, Year of Wonder, it's called, it's out now.
Get your chops around that.
You know, as I say, hopefully parents can do it with their kids. It's like a nice little ritual. And I found it did actually slightly save my life, this idea that every day I could just kind of find a sort of soul refuge in music. And so it kind of it initially came about because that's what I was sort of doing. I was relying on music to get me out of a tough time, and it really did.
Now it's time for the Scummy Mummy Confessions. And Helen, don't you have a music-related Scummy Confession for us?
Yes, I do. So can I go back a few years, Ellie?
Take us back in time. Take us back.
Right, so I had an inappropriate music interlude when I was having sex, and I was performing a sex act on a man.
A sex? You're not writing for the News of the World.
Okay, so I was giving a guy a blowjob.
Yeah.
And there's a very famous song in Australia called I Sucked a Lot of Cock to Get Where I Am.
Oh,
and
that sounds lovely. Is that the national anthem?
And it came on the radio as I was performing this sex act, and it was like, it goes, I sucked a lot of cock to get where I am. And I said, and I released.
What do you mean release? Were you biting? Did you have to unlock the jaw?
And I just went, I can't work under these conditions. And then I ended it all. I thought it was just really inappropriate music for...
Well, yeah, what was it doing on the radio? What sort of country are you from that they would play that song on the radio?
So inappropriate.
What did the receivers say?
It was like, no, keep going. No, of course it was. This is at university.
I just love the fact that you were like, I can't work under these conditions.
Yeah.
Yes. I want a pay rise. I need to clarify the maternity leave. And how about flexible working while we're at it?
You know? That's right.
I just thought you were going to be like singing along using the mic. Be like, I've sucked a lot of
karaoke.
Karaoke. I don't know if I can follow that.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
But yes, so Scummy Mummy Confession for me, not music related, but my little one, Joe, he's got super into Bing lately, like massively, even more than before. He's Bing obsessed to the point where he has started calling me Flop instead of Mummy. The other day he was like, can I have some cereal, Flop? And I was like, that is too much television.
What did you do?
I said, yeah, sure you can. Bing. No, I didn't. I just panicked and then thought, oh, I'll say that on the podcast.
That's because you look a lot like Mike Rylance, I think.
I'm Mike Rylance.
Oh, shut up.
From Mikey Mike and the Funky Bunch.
I'm so sorry, Mark. I know you're a big fan.
Yes. I'd actually forgotten about funk until that moment.
Funk! Funk!
We're all doing a little bit of wee right now.
I'm doing so much wee. I mean, like, my fucking velvet floor. Can I just run and go to the loo?
Oh, yes.
Okay, sorry, I went...
All right.
See, oh is God. It... How much of it... How bad is it that I don't even... worry about the fact that my kid just watches TV all the time? As I said, like, I'm very much an 80s child, and it's just a kind of like,
it's okay.
My Scummy Mummy's Confession, which is not really a confession, it's just like my day-to-day life, so I was like, he's 3 and a half now, is it bad that like he's never actually like eaten a vegetable yet? Like, it's not really a confession.
That's fine.
At what point does it start to matter?
No, my children will only eat carrots if they are cut, like julienned, and if I tell them that they're from Wales, and say they're Welsh bunny, because one of their lovely grandmas is from Wales, and she made Charlie, like, she was like, oh, these are Welsh bunny carrots, like 2 years ago, and now it's literally the only vegetable he will eat.
But what a back chat that my son is capable of. He would just look at me, he'd be like, no, they're not the carrots. Like, they're vegetables. Like, he just, like, it's just... But I was just thinking when you were talking about the, like, watching too much TV thing, like, does it matter that, like, I just don't... give a shit about the TV and the vegetables?
Well,
is that
we've
really
got
bad?
Friends. We've got friends who
it's
are
2017. Like we just bombarded the entire time with messages about screen time and vegetables and clean eating.
I think you're like listening to too much classical music.
Well, honestly, that's right.
Don't ask us, Clemmy. Jesus, look at the state of us.
No, look. You know, is he cuddled? Is he loved?
Has he got scurvy?
I mean, yes, that's it.
Well, that's the question.
He's like, obviously very bright. If he's challenging you every day,
I think that chat is just. Does it get any better?
No, they get more words.
It's worse, right?
No, they get more eloquent with it, though. It gets more creative and descriptive.
Sophisticated
and anyway, good luck with the new baby, and let's finish the podcast. It all gets easier from here on in, Clemmy. That's all you need to know at this juncture. Okay.
Great.
So, yes, thank you very much for listening to the podcast. Please rate, review and subscribe. And if you want to come see our live shows...
We're all over the country. Just go to scummymummies.com and click on live shows for details.
Yes, we're on the Instagram and all that, at Scummy Mummies. Our book is still in print.
Still in print, still available on the Amazon. But buy Clemency's book also, Year of Wonder.
I really hope that the algorithm just sorts it out and it's like, if you bought this, you'll also buy it. I just want to be on the same algorithm as the Scummy Mummies book, which I fucking love, by the way. You gave it to me at Hay and it's the best thing I've read all year.
Oh, Clemmy, you've been an amazing guest. Thank you so much for coming on and putting up with us, mainly.
Thank you.
Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Brie and Bark.
Brie
and Bark. I'm sure we can do better than
that. I think we can. That's our Hay Festival talk. We'll do a cheese tasting and a music listening.
Yes. Cam and Bark. Clemmy just is like, please, oh God.
I want to go home.
Oh, I remember this moment so well. When you're pregnant and everyone else in the room is pissed. And it's all really jolly for about an hour and a half. And then about 10 o'clock, you're just like, oh God, everyone's
so
dreadful.
Funny.
I hate this. Why did I ever like drinking? Everyone, I'm really tired. Bye. And you just leave.
What a bunch of cunts.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Clemmy.
I'm so sorry.
I'm sure we can do better than Cam and Bark, but I can't. I'm trying.
I know.
Racking my brains. I can't even think of another type of cheese at the moment.
Brise.
Boom.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.